and welcome to another episode of Fool's Daily. We're continuing this marathon recording session. See, I'm spoiling the magic. And we're joined by another person, and he's going to behave himself this week, because otherwise I will yell at him. But, and we're joined by Conrad.
But. Hey! Hello!
Oh dear.
And we still have Dave, Ben and Greg.
Hello.
Hello.
Evening.
So, the next topic we have to cover this evening, gentlemen, is can you ever have too many games?
Are we talking board games or are we talking like miniature games?
Here we go.
Greg's already tried to justify it.
I do think there is a very big difference between the two, actually, to be fair to Greg.
Okay, let's split it out then. Let's do both. Can you ever have too many board games?
What about computer games?
Shut up.
It's valid, isn't it?
No.
No.
It's true, isn't it? I think we were talking about tabletop games mainly, weren't we?
Yeah, we were mainly talking about
tabletop. For me, for the first two, though, video games, well, no, because you can finish them, I guess, and you could go back to them like a film, so it's a closer comparison. That's a bit of a weird thing, so... Board games is different. I think that it's to do with the time sink, and board games do not obviously have the same amount of time sink as a tabletop game potentially does.
Yeah,
because you don't have to paint stuff and all that.
Yeah, well...
And they're simpler.
You don't have to paint stuff, Mike.
Oh, you don't have to paint stuff,
Mike. You might want to paint stuff, you don't have to.
Oh, people paint things like zombie-side minis and stuff like that, but yeah. You're not going to paint your cubes in Pandemic. Because
well, that would make the game a bit hard, wouldn't it? Really, where's the pink disease? Oh,
you could find wood stain for them, couldn't you?
Okay, so board games, not computer games. So tabletop miniature games. I mean, and the question was specific. I mean, this was a question that sort of came from Twitter a couple of weeks ago. It was sort of specifically around skirmish level games.
Yeah, I think I actually sort of may have sparked that. Sort of.
Was that you? Was that you, Dave?
It was me that sort of said, "Have I got too many?"
Yeah. I mean, for me, I've sort of been looking for games at certain size levels to have one of, you know, one or two of each. So, you know, the 5 to 10 model game.
Okay, I thought you meant scale then for a minute. Sorry.
No, not scale. The 10 to 20 to 30 model game, and then the bigger one. Now, the bigger one that I have is Warhammer. The mid-level one, I have Saga for historicals, and there's a couple of Kickstarters coming that may fill that gap for other period types. And then I have mainly Malifaux for the small one, but then there's little add-on things that are just sort of figure collections that get used for multiple games.
You see, that's probably where I'd differ. I wouldn't just collect figures randomly. If I'm collecting figures, they're for a game, because I come much more from the game end of the market than the miniature end of the market. Yeah, so that's probably why I think I probably could have too many games.
Right. Okay. And I suppose, yeah, I mean, that's an important thing. I mean, I'll buy figures because I like the figure and then think, oh, I might be able to use it in this at some point in the future.
No, yeah, I mean, certainly. It's all opposite. Whereas I tend to get stuff with a specific purpose in mind.
I think the answer for me is no, you can't. There's never too many. Because there's always some new hotness around that you want to jump into, or, you know, dare I say it, a new version of a game, even. Because essentially, that may force you to change. And buy additional miniatures. However, the one thing that I would ask you is, and it's something that a gaming friend of me pointed out to me about 2 months ago, was the fact that he looked, and now this is a very, very big decision, this is, he looked at everything that he had and he sort of figured out how long it had taken him to paint what he had so far, and he made the decision then that he would not be able to paint all his figures or use all his figures, so he offloaded a lot of it and is just concentrating on one or two games now. I can never see myself doing that.
Okay, Conrad, here we go. I've still got figures in probably not, maybe not bags, but certainly in the base lead state from a salute that was at Kensington High Street.
It's probably one that I went to.
Probably. I mean, so we're talking well over 10 years.
Yeah.
So that one's not going to wash. So I've got plenty of stuff kicking around.
Yep, same here. I mean, but it was something that makes you think about it a little bit. Yeah. But I can never see myself... I mean, it's hard enough getting rid of anything that I've got. And I play, you know, I play War Machine, I play Malifaux, I play Saga, I play Epic, I play Godslayer, I play a bit of War and Conquest. I'd like to play some Blitzkrieg Commander. I think those are the main games that I play. But there is a, Mike, you said about, well, you know, Malifaux is your, what is it, your 10 figure skirmishy game?
Yeah.
It isn't really, because you go and buy another faction and you end up, your figure collection grows.
Oh, yeah, yes, but that's back to, it's for that particular game. I mean, like Greg was just saying, you know, he buys figures for a particular game.
Yeah.
But I have, I mean, I certainly buy figures for games that I think I might like the look of because I like the figures. So I have a load of figures for the Batman game, for example.
Yeah.
Which are completely out of scale to use for anything else.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's pretty niche.
but then I have, you know, I have a Blood Bowl team. I haven't played Blood Bowl for years.
Why not?
Yeah, you're mad.
Yeah.
you can play it online quite easily.
Well, you can be able to play it on the iPad.
No,
you'll be able
no.
To play, you'll be able to play it on
the
iPad tomorrow.
Yep.
And I will get more work done. Absolutely not.
The AI is fine, but it's no substitute for playing on the tabletop.
But no, I mean, so I have a Blood Bowl team. I have I've rationalized my Warhammer armies down. I now only have two. Now, admittedly, one of them's rather large.
Would that be a Skaven army by chance?
Yeah, that I may have recently just bought a whole load more figures.
You see, I've probably played it in my life, probably Warhammer past like third or fourth edition. I've probably played three games, and I've still got starts of two armies kicking around that really should need to shift. So this is—I've got to the point where I have got too many games that I just never ever do anything with, and really should look at some of it.
I think fantasy. I have got a smattering of 40k figures, but my main 40k army got sold. My Necrons got sold. I've got a dwarf, a beastman, and a demon army, and undead actually. I've got vampire counts still knocking around, and I haven't played it, but I think I've kept them.
You and Mike were competition gamers for fantasy, weren't you? You went to tournaments and stuff.
It was not only that. I've got a deep love for fantasy gaming, but 8th edition didn't do it for me, and I fell out of love with GW's fantasy battle game because I fell in love with Hordes and War Machine, I suppose. But also, as I'd been a playtester, Mike will probably back me up on this, we'd seen so many things happen and we'd suggest things and things would get changed, and then when the book came out, you know, an army book came out, it would be back to previous iteration or something completely different, you know. And I just got cheesed off with it to a certain extent. And GW were very much carrot dangling, you know. It certainly reminded me of World of Warcraft a little bit, you know, where you're constantly mining. New figures would come out, new units would come out. You're constantly having to buy stuff, you know. I mean, it was.
Yeah, I mean, oh God, we're all over the map now. I actually think that that's a function of going to tournaments. Certainly. I mean, the only Warhammer I play these days is of the beer and pretzel variety that I play down one of the local clubs that gets together once a month, and they frankly couldn't care if I played with an army book that's 3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, three editions old. It's all about the social experience and pushing some toys around the table and rolling buckets of dice and taking buckets of models off. That's what Warhammer is to me these days. It's not something that I play for a competition. I've got no interest in playing it for a competition anymore.
And if you listen to GW, you're the target market for it then.
Yeah. But I mean, the other, and that's why it works for me. See, I quite like 8th edition. I like the throw them in and run away, and they're all dead, and you can't break them because they've got loads of stuff. And I quite, that works for me. And the big, you know, the big spells that people complained about, I like those as well. I don't care if my unit gets taken off because it's funny.
Yeah, it's fantasy, isn't it?
Yeah, and frankly, I used to play in 3rd edition where the spells they have now are nothing compared with Vorpal Hurricanes of Chaos. So it doesn't bother me.
Stealing it slightly back onto topic then, I have actually come out of a Kickstarter today. I know, madness, I must have had a really sad rational moment, I think.
Yeah, which one did you come out of?
The Infamy.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, originally I jumped in when one of the early pledges appeared, so I jumped into that level. Then I had a semi sort of fit of rationality and dropped back down to the 3 model limit. And that was mainly because of the tie-in model to Guild Ball, if I'm actually honest. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah.
But I haven't actually got my Guild Ball models yet. So, you know, fit of rationality and the fact that BritCon's coming up and I really should be saving some cash, I've come out.
Hmm.
Well, I mean, I do worry. The one thing I do worry about with playing all the games is actually being able to get the games at the club or with gaming opponents or whatever. So I am concerned about the fact that Relic Knights is supposedly due to ship at some point. And when is Wrath of Kings due? Does anyone know?
I have no idea, but you might get your first wave of Relic Knights unless they've risk-packed some of ours and stuff as well. Who knows? That is just... Well, there's another subject for another time that has been done to death already.
Yeah, but I mean, as we start to get more stuff, you know, time becomes an issue. I'd like to play Dead Man's Hand. I've got the stuff. It's not painted or made up. I'd like to have a go at other games as well, but I don't have the time, you know? And that is the big problem. I don't think there's ever too many games but there's time for playing them all. But, you know, is that a bad thing? Because you can always go back to it.
Yeah, and for me, I think, like, it's two different questions though, isn't it? Like, if you're saying, can there be too many games out there? Then the answer is definitely no. But I think that's because of time, I think you can have too many games. Because, I don't know, most people can't invest all their money into something that they're not going to have a chance to actually paint and build and then have to tell, you know, because a lot of us have unpainted stuff. Everybody does.
No, no, everything of mine is painted.
That's silver.
naturally highlighted.
Yeah, why highlight? Real light does that. But also just, it's the time, but it's not just time preparing stuff. It's also finding opponents and stuff. The reason some people stick to certain systems is because they know there's a player base there. Whereas jumping into, say, some of the Kickstarter games is sort of scary in some ways because you don't know if you have to hope that somebody else in your local group's going to get into it too. Otherwise, you're just going to have models. Because I don't actually know. I'm in the Infamy Kickstarter, but I don't know anybody locally is actually going to jump into it. But luckily for me, I just really like the models. So I'll keep it at a low level just to get some pretty models. But
yeah, there's one local guy to me that said he's in it. But again, he's a pretty good painter, so he'll probably go in for the models more than anything else. So yeah, that's where. But yeah, so I'm not particularly worried about coming out of that one.
You were going to say something, Greg?
I was, yeah. I was just going to talk about the time factor. I mean, I don't know about anyone else, but I'm lucky if I can get, say, maybe like 2 nights of gaming a week. On a Sunday nights when we have our main club in Heaton and then some of the guys in Sunderland play on a Thursday, and I happen to live between the two, which works out okay. But that's kind of like, you know, with work and other life and stuff, you know, I'm looking at maximum 2 a week, 2 nights of gaming a week. So if I'm playing 4 or 5 games, I might only be playing one of those games once a month. And, you know, again, it comes down to, you know, am I going to spend a couple of £100 on a game if I'm only going to play it, you know, 10, 12 times a year?
Yeah.
I mean, I was playing about this time last year about 5 different games, and I've called it down to just War Machine and Malifaux now. Because at least with, you know, 2 games, at least you can play them both on a regular basis.
I admire your restraint.
Yeah. It's hard.
I was going to say, I mean, I would quite happily pick up a game and have stuff for it and paint stuff for it that I only play maybe once a year. Because, you know, and I may, there may just be one opponent that, or one friend that I've met over the years who plays that particular game.
Yeah.
Saga is a, you know, Saga is a prime example. I have a Saga army. I've only ever played maybe five games of Saga.
I don't think I've. I don't think I've played Saga this year.
I've lost, and I've lost every single game.
I
have a couple of. No, I was just going to say my friend Dave plays Saga, really likes Saga, so I have a Saga army for the one time a year that we get together to have some games, so we can play Saga.
I think I liken having too many games to having a friend that you don't see regularly or you don't keep in touch with, and then when you meet up, it's just like, you know, you were never apart sort of thing. So I think if you don't play Saga and then you play with your mate Dave, it's akin to that sort of thing.
Hmm. I mean, the other thing is, everything I've ever sold, I've regretted selling.
I think the only thing I really regret is my first set of AD&D books. I regret selling them.
I sold last year.
My two biggest regrets are when 40K went from Rogue Trader to second edition, so about the time Ben was born, I think.
Yeah.
I played orcs, and I had a fully painted orc army for Rogue Trader, and when it switched, I didn't like second edition, and I sold those orcs, and I regretted that ever since. And I've also regretted selling. I had a fully painted epic orc force for second edition, so Space Marine.
Yeah, Space Marine. Yeah, that's right.
Time that when I moved to America. I got rid of, and I didn't even sell it. I gave it away. And now I now have an epic army that is bigger than the one that I gave away. But I really, you know, I regret that. And there are other things that I've got rid of over the years that I go, I wish I hadn't got rid of that. Even the fancy battle armies that I sold recently that were sitting in boxes underneath my table, not doing anything, never going to get played with. I still go, I put time and effort into painting models for that and doing conversions and things, and I've sold them. And why?
No, that I fully understand, because I was massively into 40K before I started playing Malifaux. Did the whole competitive scene and everything else. And I used to play Dark Eldar. And then when the new Dark Eldar came out, I had a full army painted, and I only played 40K for, oh God, like at least 18 months, probably 2 years. But I'll still, I know I'll never sell that army. It'll sit in a box for decades, but I won't ever sell it. For, I suppose, as you say, it's sentimental value.
Yeah, I mean, that's my Skaven for me, because I've had those since they first created Skaven in 88. And wow. I'm not getting rid of them ever. Until I die, and then they go to Conrad.
Hopefully the cost of fuel would be so extortionate that I'll just have to burn them then at that point.
Well, hopefully you'll have died before me, because you are substantially older than I am.
Well, if you keep buying models, Mike, it might be what you can cover the coffin with.
It might be.
If you don't need dirt, just fill it with Skaven.
It could be, yeah. My darling wife would like me to get rid of some more, but yeah. It's not going to happen.
There's always room for one more army, surely.
Well, there is. I mean, I've got at least two more games coming from Kickstarter.
my darling wife, who may become my darling ex-wife if she carries on that way.
Well, I'll be playing three games. I've got Guild War coming on Kickstarter.
I didn't do that one, but I have Wrath of Kings and theoretically Relic Knights.
And some nice 15mm ancients.
Oh, and the 15mm ancient, I see. So that's three.
So I think, let's face it, at the end of the day, the nature of gamers is that we're just collectors to a certain extent.
We're addicts. Addict is probably the better term.
Yeah. I was being polite to ourselves.
In all seriousness, for some people's hobby is buying stuff. It sounds really stupid, but it is. Like, being able to buy the new shinies, I don't know, the excitement for them, even if it does end up sitting in a box or just gets sold on like a year later. That's, for some people, that is exciting, for definite.
Yeah, I think for the most of the stuff, I have at least played with it at once. Apart from my War Master army, but I don't even remember how I got the War Master army.
Because it's a good game.
But it's just all in a part. It's just in a box. I mean, it's not even on bases. But I think that's the only game that I have a decent amount of figures for that I've never actually played.
So now I always took myself and two mates used to go to Salute, and we'd always have a dangerous thing. So we'd split up, we'd go and look around the show, and then we'd come back together and always say, "Did you see this?" And we go to the stand and we'd all buy something thinking that we could have some really cool rules for this, that and the other. And they're all set in shelves and boxes and stuff. I think more weren't played than were played.
Yes, that's what Spoons is for. My 7TV stuff, I have so much of that, and I've never actually played 7TV beyond a couple of demos.
Although my friend is quite excited about the upcoming version, the upcoming update to Saga with the, because he's finally going to be able to use his Maws and El Cid figures.
Cross and Crescent.
Yeah, that you bought probably eight, nine years ago.
I bought Maws for WAB back in the day, the Gripping Beast ones.
Ooh, chunky.
And I had them painted and then I sold them. And now I'm going to buy another set of Maws because when Cross and Crescent come out, I want to play those.
Yeah.
So, right, I think we should probably go.
Did we answer the question though?
I think we did in a very confused and meandering and wandering way, and the answer is
yes
and no.
The answer is yes.
Yeah, there we go.
No, the answer is no.
There you go, that's our answer.
So there you go.
The answer is what you want it to be.
Yeah.
Oh, you're so nice, Connor.
Sounds like an 80s cartoon or something there.
Well, they did make RoboCop into a cartoon, so frankly, they could make anything. So, I've been Mike.
I've been Conrad.
And
I've been Dave.
I've been Greg.
And I've been Ben.
And we'll speak to you next time.
Goodbye.
You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter, we're at Fools_Daily, or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.